God is good. And all the time. That's his nature. And there's nothing we can do about it. Amen. It's good to see all these handsome and beautiful faces this morning. Sorry, I need something here. I'm excited to be here this morning. Amen. Are you ready to hear the word of God? Are you hungry? Amen. I'm hungry too. Praise God. So we're going to hear together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I want to thank you, God, for your love for us, O God. It's a love that endures, O God. And we thank you for it, Father. Father, this morning, as I speak your word, O God, I pray, O God, that your word, that's a two-edged sword, would be able to pierce our bones, our marrows, our souls, and our immortal spirit, O God. It would discern the thoughts and our intents, O God, to the glory of your name. And so, Father, we put our hearts before you this morning. We put our hearts, our minds, our everything. Speak to us, O God. Father, do something new in our lives, O God. May we not leave your presence the same. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about staying focused as we do life together. Amen. We're about to launch this week into our life group, so I thought this was going to be a good topic for us to talk about. Pastor Ralph touched a little bit on it. He talked last week on how to contend for our faith. And I just want to pick up where he left off. So I'm going to be reading from Jude verses 20 to 23, because Jude only has one chapter, right? All the Bible scholars, Jude have how many chapters? Okay, one. All right, there you go. Good. So the book of Jude was a warning to the believers against those who would attack their faith. The believers at that time seemed a little bit indifferent to what was happening around them. There were men and women who crept into the church, disregarding every form of correction and living a total immoral life. They weren't practicing any form of restraint. They denied Jesus, they were causing divisions, and wanted to do their own thing. So Jude wanted those that believe, not to idle, not to just be on the sidelines. He wanted them to contend for their faith. Contend for their faith. So I'm going to piggyback off of what Pastor Ralph has said last week, and I want to cover the 7 life-giving activities that Jude encourages the believers to do, to defend their faith and avoid distractions. Are we here this morning? Are you alive? Yes. All right, just checking. Now, I read an article by Carrie Newhoff that gives us about 5 reasons people don't go to church. And this is what he had to say. He said people don't go to church when they're not finding community, which lends the question, are you in a community? He says, they are not learning about God. Are you learning about God? They have legitimate doubts, and those doubts are prohibited. No questions allowed. Are you asking questions? God, he says, is missing in the church. So worshiping and God is not there. Teaching and God is not there. There's just a sense that the presence of God is no longer in the church. God is missing. Is God missing in our lives this morning? Yeah, and that's what I like to see. I see somebody's like, Pastor. He's not missing in my life. Praise God. The church, they say, is irrelevant. Leaders are hypocritical, and leaders have experienced too much moral failure. What Jude began to give us in 22 and 23 of the book of Jude, he starts to speak to us as individuals and as a community. And what he's trying to say is that, listen, you hold some responsibility as an individual. And you hold some responsibility as a community to stay focused and defend your faith. Stay focused and defend our faith. And so I'm going to read from Jude 20, 23, verses 20 to 23. It says, but you, beloved, praise God. You know, in the four times that Jude addresses the believer within this book of one chapter and 25 verses, every time he addressed the believer, he addressed them as beloved. Beloved. It was vital for him that we understand who we are. We are beloved. Beloved comes from the Greek word agapetos, which is from the word agape. It means dearly loved ones, the object of special attention and of special relationship. His love for us is defined by the Father's promise to send his Son. From the moment man fell, God's inception of our sin promises Jesus. It is defined by him sending his Son. In Luke 1:31, it says, you will bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God's love is defined by the life of Jesus as he walked in relationship with the Father. Every day that Jesus walked on this planet, he was in full pursuit of the purposes of God. When you read the book of John, almost every chapter have this kind of reference. I haven't come to do my will, but I came to do the will of the Father. So in every chapter, I came to do the will of the Father. It is defined by his willingness to die on the cross. Where he took our sins and removed from us the wrath of God, he ushered in an era of power, an era of grace, and an era of truth. And it's defined by the Father raising his Son from the dead, so that we who believe have the hope that one day, when we face death, we will not be alone. But as Christ was raised from the dead, so will we too be risen from the dead. As it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Right? It's a transition as we meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Beloved, it conveys that love relationship between God the Father and the Son. And it's the same relationship that God pours out to those that believe in him. So God's love is not predicated on how you feel. Whether you're sad, whether you're happy, whether you're anxious, whether you're under pressure, it does not change God's love for you and for me. The people were going through some stuff in the church, but Jude wanted them to know that they are beloved. God's love is not predicated on our financial situation, whether you're in debt up to your neck or doing financially great. You are beloved. God's love is not predicated on your health, whether you are strong or dealing with ailments. It is not the measure of God's love for you. You are beloved. Our measuring stick for God's love is demonstrated through the work he did and continues to do through Jesus. Amen? I say continue because Jesus is alive. And he is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. So if you are a believer, if you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe that he lived, that he's the Son of God, that he was risen from the dead, and he is resurrected and at the right hand of God, then you are beloved. That is your position. That is how God looks and sees you as beloved. So, be loved. Amen? Be loved. Amen? Say again, be loved. Praise God. Now today, if you're sitting here or listening to this message online and you're a doubter, you don't believe in Jesus, I want you to know that God loves you. According to John 3:16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, I'm saying this because I too was once a doubter. Loved by God, but not beloved by him. Praise God. You see, the difference is that being loved by God doesn't require anything from me. You know, he just pours out his love because he's that good. Amen? You know, and it doesn't matter what we do. He pours out his love. Say, for all have sinned. The Bible says, for God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet, Christ died for us. Right? So he poured out. I'm laughing because I'm remembering. I just was talking to a young lady who got hurt by someone. And that someone came back and reached out to her and said, listen, I'm so sorry. You know, please forgive me. She's like, you know what? You are forgiven. But guess what? That friendship door is closed, solid shut. You are not coming through that because I'm not going to set up myself to get hurt by you again. But that is not our God. He demonstrated his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? And now we are stepped into a place of beloved by God. When we believe. Praise God. I said, praise God. Beloved is where I identify with that love and respond to it. It's to say, oh, God loves me. I love him too. It costs God something, and guess what? It will cost you something too. And you know what? I'm okay with that. It's all good. It's all good. It's the Bible I'm hearing. Praise the Lord. It's scripture. Amen? And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the cause. So Jude was addressing a people beloved by God. It is within this understanding of beloved that he continues to outline a few things that could occupy our time. Somebody say time. And this is all introduction, but it's a good introduction. Amen. Say, money is the currency of our world. With it, we buy and we sell. It can give us the power to do as we please. Well, most of the time. It gives us some kinds of freedom. We can create an image of ourselves. Like if you want to lose weight, for example, and you have money, there's tons of ways to do it. Amen? There are tons of ways to do it. But when you don't have money, you know what? You got to roll off your bed and try some real practical ways to lose that weight. Right? It allows us to travel and escape issues. I was listening to, for you who follow basketball, DeMar DeRozan. When he found out he was traded from Toronto Raptors, right? What did he do? Right? Well, when he got traded, he found the news. He got some cash. He had money. He went and buy a plane ticket, or I don't know how he flew, but he got to some island, and he sat down for a couple of days just processing by himself. right? If you don't have money and you get traded or fired, you know, you'll be sitting down at home. Okay? If you're like me, the kids are running all over the place, the wife, there's demands still, right? Requiring. There's no sitting somewhere or no island, you know, trying to process things. You know, it can bring fame. I mean, look, don't be fooled. Money can get you many things. Your financial ambitions and dreams can come true with the right amount of money. But one thing it can give you is time. It can give you time, because time is one of God's currency to us. Steve Jobs made this statement before he died. He says, "I never knew how useless money was until I became sick." In Hebrews 9 says, it's appointed unto men once to die. When you die, your time is up on earth. And after that is judgment. And for the beloved, that is meeting Jesus. Amen? Face to face. So the beloved needs to spend God's currency, time, wisely before we meet Jesus. So again, inspired by God, Jude gives us 7 ways to spend our time that will allow us to handle a troubled, that will help us to stay focused and handle distractions. Are you ready for this? Look at your neighbor and say, are you ready for this? Okay, I'm going to continue. Jude 20:23 says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith," that is the first, "and praying in the Holy Spirit." It said, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by flesh." He gives us 7 things there. 1, build yourself up in the most holy faith. 2, pray in the Holy Spirit. 3, keep yourselves in the love of God. 4, waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. 5, have mercy on those who doubt. 6, save others by snatching them out of the fire. And 7, to others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. 7 things. I can't go through 7 today. I can only go through 3. And so we will continue another time with the remaining 4. So, first one, building yourself up in your most holy faith. I have a question for you this morning. Where is your faith? If someone was to ask you today, where is your faith right now? What would you say? Where is the evidence of your claim to faith in Jesus Christ? Is it at home? Is it at church? Is it at your place of work? Is it in your heart? Is it among your family? Is it with friends you hang out? Where is your faith? Hebrews 11 gives us this long list about faith, about the actions of faith, about the evidence of faith. And it had a lot to say. When you get some time, you read it. Okay? I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis, a brief summary of it. By faith, we understand the universe was created by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he could not see death. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of a place that he was to receive as an inheritance and went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each one of his sons. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made preparations to take his bones out of Egypt. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by his parents. By faith, when he grew up, he refused to live in the palace with Pharaoh. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient. And many others who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed into, they were killed with the sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in the deserts and in the caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. How much more us, who have received Jesus Christ, the promise of God from Genesis 3:15. By faith. So I ask you, where is your faith? Where is the evidence of your faith? When I look at these scriptures, I look at faith and say, oh man, one thing faith is not dead. Faith is action. Faith is action. It makes people do crazy things. Where is your faith? Look, Jude said, listen, if you're going to stand and if you're going to defend your faith in the day of trouble, you need to use the currency that God has given you to build your faith. It needs to get to a point where it commends you, where your faith can congratulate you, where your faith can salute you and say, good job, man. You're doing great things, man. When people look at you, they'll be like, oh, man, look, faith is walking there. Two weeks ago, I sat and watched the Evans family go through a period of painful loss. That's Tony Evans, a preacher in the States. He lost his father, brother, niece, and then his wife, December 30th, 2019. His partner in ministry, Lewis Evans. All this happened, all this grief, all this loss happened in a short period of time. I watched Mr. Evans and his two daughters and two sons address the loss of their loved ones. And what was so glaring was their faith in God. Through it all. Through it all, they declare their unshaking, unmovable faith in God. Their faith salute them as myself and millions watched and witnessed their faith in action. One of the things that we say about life groups is it is where life change happens by supporting one another in applying God's word to every area of life. It is where we go and we discuss our faith. We discuss how the word of God operates in our lives And we get to hear how the Word of God operates in the lives of others. The Bible says that faith comes by and hearing what? The Word of God. And so it is an excellent place to spend. Somebody says spend. It's an excellent place to spend time building your faith or helping others to build faith. Praise God. The second thing Jude said, praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues as well as with understanding. If you have the gift of tongues, pray in tongues. Tongues is a language given by God to us. And in 1 Corinthians 14, it's for us to speak mysteries only God can understand. That's why you should desire it. We speak mysteries in speaking in tongues to God. Praise God. In verse 4, it says it edifies us. This is 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 5, Paul says, I desire that all would speak in tongues. It can edify the church when followed by interpretation in verse 13. And Paul boasts that, man, listen, in this church of Corinth, me, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So it is something to be desired. One of the things I enjoy with tongues is the ability to stay longer before God. You know, I say that because before tongues, my prayer life was consistent and brief. It was consistent, but it was brief. But I find myself going from when I learned to speak in tongues, when God gave me that gift, going from understanding to mysteries. Understanding to mysteries. And it's so cool when in your spirit, God begins to witness to you what some of those mysteries are. That is the cool thing about it. And so now I begin to pray now in understanding of mysteries. Praise God. Praise God. Spend time. Say, tell your neighbor, spend time. Spend time praying in different tongues. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. I know I'm going a little bit fast because when I get excited, I talk fast. Okay, so bear with me. Ephesians 6:18. The Holy Spirit also can energize us to pray in understanding in line with God's word. And the Bible says here, all prayers. It says pray with all prayers. Means that there's more than one way to pray. Right? There is praise and thanksgiving. There is worship. There is petition. There is intercession. There is supplication. There's that time when the Spirit of God comes to you and you just declare a thing. It can even be a command, right? There can be that thing where you feel like, oh man, I need to be in persistent prayer. Where you're like, you know what, God, if you don't do this, I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. So it's more than, Father, I just want to thank you for this day. You know, it's such a really good day. You are so good. I love you, Lord. And just keep me today. Good. I'm not saying it's bad, but persistent prayer is like, God, I'm not moving until I will seek you more than food. I will seek you more than my entertainment. I will put aside TV games. I will put aside everything. I am here. I need you. Praise God. And you persist in the presence of God. This prayer of faith, and the list goes on. In Ephesians, it says, making supplication also for all the saints. So we pray in all prayer, and we also supplicate for all the saints. You know, sometimes prayer can be difficult. And we may need a boost. Having a group of people with you can be such a blessing. That's why corporate prayer is so important. It can be so, you know, I don't know about you, but I've come to some times where I feel like I can't pray. Like, I feel like I can't pray. I've had those experiences. I just feel like I can't pray. Amen. And so having a group of people where you can meet with on a weekly basis, and they start to throw down, because the God that we serve is so sovereign. He knows what we need. Amen? And somebody can be in that group, and they're all revved up. Vroom, 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 vroom. They're like in this big trucks. You know, I'm not a car follower. No, I don't want a Mustang. No Mustang. F-120 or something like that. There you go, 150. There you go. And they are all boom, 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 boom. That engine is running, boom, 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 boom. A souped-up engine, okay? And boom, 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 right? And you are like, you know, you that can have a flat tire. You can't move. You know what I'm saying? And when you get together with them, it's like they hook you up, boom, and they start pulling you. Boom, 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 boom. And before you know it, you know, they may even change the tire, put it back on, and then guess what? You are on your way. Sometimes we need that boost. We need that boost. You know? And so that's why life groups are so important. We prioritize prayer in life groups. If you're going to come to one of our life groups, guess what? There's going to be some praying. Amen? Because we need to pray. We need to pray. And we also need to be encouraged to pray. Praise God. And it's my observation also that in life groups, I see prayer becomes a little bit more sincere. Because I'm sitting next to somebody, and guess what? I am hearing the discouragement. I'm hearing the apprehension. I can hear the struggle. You know? Even when it's victory, I can hear the victory, you know? And so, you know, you the person is right next to you. And so when you pray, it is my observation that it becomes so sincere. Praise God. We need a loving support and encouragement from other believers. We are not meant to walk alone in our faith. So spend time praying. I remember one guy came to our life group, you know, and he was there. He came. And then he's like, I caught him actually exiting back to go out. I said, hey, come, come, come. And he came. And he confessed to all of us that, man, I don't feel comfortable, like in like group setting and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm very anxious about it. And you know, I'm really, I don't know if this is for me. After our first life group, he never missed one. Haven't missed one since. Because he found that support, that loving support, that encouragement, that chatting on the word of God, seeing faith in the lives of people. And it encouraged him. So spend time praying. And the third thing. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? I said something earlier that I'd like to just rephrase. Being beloved is where I identify with God's love and respond to it. It is to say God loves me and I love him. It costs God something and it will cost me something too. But you know what? That's all right. That's all right. Keeping yourself in God's love has to do with your response to his love. It will cost you. It will cost you. In John 14:21, Jesus said, this is the words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Man, there's a lot of love in that one verse. Also in verse 23 of the same chapter, it says, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Hear me out. I believe that this is one of the greatest struggles that our generation is facing right now. To keep God's word. To hold on to God's word. We live in a world that love has to do with pleasure. If you love me, then you will give me pleasure or allow me to do what I enjoy. And if God loves me, then he will let me do what I enjoy too. No. It does not work like that. You need to readjust yourself to spend time with God so you can learn to keep his commandments. Keeping has to do with facing things that are contrary to the word of God. That's what it is. When you face things that are contrary to the word of God, and you come out of that thing with the word of God, that's how you keep the word. You have kept the word. Right? Knowing the word is one thing. You can read, you can study, you can say, this is the word of God. But to keep the word, you got to go through the thing that will oppose the word. And when you go through the thing that opposes the word and come out with the word, you have kept the word. And Jesus says, if you keep my word, guess what? The Father will love you. I will love you. We will love you. And what we will do, we will manifest ourselves to you. We will make our home with you. Praise God. Can I get an amen? You know, when we keep the word, it's a big deal because it leads to us knowing God. It's not just a feeling, although the presence of God is real. And sometimes when he comes, he will come with that feeling, that awe, that reverence, that I want more. But he wants us to know him. And we know him by keeping his word. It's like this. My wife and I have been married for over 10 years. For some, that's long. For others, not so long. When I fell in love with her, I knew some things about her. If anyone asked me if I knew her when we got married, at that time, I would say, of course I know her. We have dated for what, 4 to almost 5 years. I know this woman. If you ask me now, if I knew her then, you may get a different answer. I would not be so sure. You see, as time flew by, the first commitment that I made to marry her led to many, 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 many other commitments. And it is through those commitments that I begin to see who she is and continue to do so even today. There's still a few things I haven't figured out. Praise God. And she hasn't figured out with me either. So this is a two-side thing. Okay, baby? All right. But this I can say with confidence. I love you more now than when we first got married. And I can say that with absolute confidence. When you believe in Christ, that is when you become the beloved of God. But when you keep the word, that is the vehicle in which your love grows with God. It grows and grows. You see more of him. He is at home with you. He dwells and he manifests himself. And you enjoy the presence of God. But you enjoy in knowing as well. So when you face trials and tribulations and whatever may come your way, you're able to stand. You're able to keep the word and you were able to hold it in the midst of trials. Praise God. Today there are tons of distraction that keeps us from keeping God's word and never growing in God's love. In our life group, one of the things we reflect on is our sermons. We're intentional about that for now so that we can hear the word. When you hear it on Sunday once, you can discuss it among yourself during the week. And you will hear it from different perspectives, right? So it will enrich or give us more opportunities to keep the word. Because if you miss something here, you know what? In live groups, you'd be like, oh my goodness, wait, he said that. Oh yes, yes. And you remind each other. Amen? And so we were able to keep the word. Now, as we start groups this week, I want to encourage you as you spend God's currency, time, to organize your life to ensure you spend time individually as well as a community. In what? Spend time to build your faith. Build your faith. Spend time to pray. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. And spend time keeping God's word. Right? Stuff will come. Keep the word. Make spending time with God a priority. And make groups a priority. We need it. That's why God says, love me and love. Right? I think the real interesting thing about groups is, one, God hasn't put us together by chance. Right? We are here. It is my belief that we are here because God wants us to be here. Two, you have something I need, and I have something you need. As a family, we have things in each other that can benefit one another. Groups allow me to hear what God has in you. Right? And talk about it. Right? Ask questions about it. Get clarification about it. And so that we can grow together. We want to build relationships that can hold the truth of God. That's what groups allows us to do. Because for sometimes, some of us, we only see each other on Sunday. One Sunday after the other Sunday, and we have no clue what's happening, how to pray. Have no clue about what's going on in your life or each other's lives. And so groups will allow us to close that gap. So we can encourage, love one another, pray with each other, share the word with each other, and high-five each other when we keep the word. Good job. Praise God. Let's just rise to our feet. Just going to call the worship team quickly. We are here. If you need prayer for anything, you can just come to the front. The pastors, the elders are here. We'd love to pray with you. If something touched you and you feel like, you know what, I need prayer, you know, or you're saying, hey, God, I just need to develop this area in my life. I don't know how. You know, we can pray for faith. We can also pray that God would help us to pray. And we can pray, right, for community. We can do all of that. Okay, so the altar will be open for you, or you can stand where you are and you can pray with God. It's just that when you come here, we're able to join our faith together, you know what I'm saying? And if the devil is trying anything, guess what? He has no ground, okay? Because the Bible says if two should agree concerning anything, then guess what? It's done, right? So that's why we also call you to the altar for prayers. Let's worship.